Frio, friaco. Shri Chaitanya Prabhu Bhuvi Ko Bhagavan Karato Vande Rupa Sanatan Gaura Jiva Ko Shri Jiva Ko Karato Vande Rupa Sanatan Gaura Jiva Ko Jai Jiva Gopala Ko Yadavaya Madhavaya Kaisavaya Namaha. Gopala Sundara Sundari Kumara. Girihari Gopinatha Madhavaya.
Hare Change that right amount of it. I'll play the flutes. Same key though. Okay.
Thank you.
Shupa Oshi Ishra Irish. Is that Nepali? Oh! Upside down.
Raj called him to see if he's trying to figure out where we're at.
Okay. So,
I guess everybody can come close.
Yeah. Come closer. Please. We're vegetarians. We only eat.
Please come
we only eat Nepali Brahmins. Rakshasa. So there's when Krishna created the universe.
Chitriya, not Rakshasa.
Oh, it's okay. Good job. Krishna. Okay. Everybody has to do Padmasana. It's good for you.
Oh, it's not Achilles Davis Park.
No. It's a Yosemite Park.
Go back to the temple.
Okay. Ah, whatever.
No, it's okay. She's already leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when God created the material world,
no problem.
The prison house, yeah, which in Spanish you say manicomia, yes, which means that funny farm.
Okay. No problem. Take a problem.
One time, this man was driving his truck. Okay. Yeah. This man. Yeah.
He's on his way there to the temple. He's just riding around Julia
Davis. One time his man was driving his truck and it broke down in front of the funny farm, the middle hospital, and had a flat tire. So he took all the lug nuts off, took the wheel off, put the tire back on, his spare tire. He was missing the lug nuts. Couldn't find them. All the lunatics were watching him. And finally, one of the lunatics said, you know, if you took one lug nut off of each of the other three tires, and you can have three on each one, and you could go home like that, you know? The guy said, wow, it's incredible. Why are you in this mental hospital? He said, I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid. And the man asked him, what do you have in the truck? And he said, oh, it's fertilizer. It's cow manure, you know? What are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to put it on strawberries like that. That way she should live here. We have milk and sugar on our strawberries here. So when God created the loony bin, the manicomia, the mental hospital where we are now, he also created the instructions, how to get out of the place, and if you don't want to get out of the place, how to live here in the same fashion, yeah, according to your position like that. So this is called Veda. Wisdom, sabiduria, okay? Sabiduria, Veda. And so it's there, you know, and it comes out of Lord Brahma. He's the first created being in the universe. When he's coming, he doesn't see anything. It's all turning over like this and that. So one voice says, Tapa, which means Tapa, austerity. So he did austerity. And then he heard the sound of Krishna's flute, like this. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms trip your neck on your snout. Yeah. So when you see a corpse go by, please don't laugh and please don't cry.
because you will be the next to go. It's a famous song.
Yeah. I didn't know there were words.
Yeah, it's an old, like, it's a cowboy song, pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So he heard the sound of Krishna's flute. And the sound of Krishna's flute entered all of his ears and came out of his mouth as the Gayatri Mantra and the Vedas, like that. Yeah. And so it tells you how to live here. You know, that's what it's designed for. But when Vyasadeva saw, actually when Dwaipanyaya Muni saw that Kali Yuga was coming, he said, hey, people are going to have short memories. They're going to be unmotivated. So he decided to divide Veda into four parts. And to divide is called Vyas. So his name, Dwaipanyaya Muni, is called Veda Vyas, because he divided the Veda. But his name is Dwaipanyaya. I guess you know that. Yeah. What are the names of the four Vedas? You know back there? Who knows? He knows, he knows. Four Vedas. What are the four Vedas? Their name? Sama Veda. Rig Veda. Oh my God. Atharva Veda. Yajur Veda. Just see. Beaten by a South Indian Brahmin. South Indian Brahmin. Okay. Can you chant them? You never know people do in the last life.
Got enough time.
No. It's you know, that people last lifetime. Just chanting the Vedas is like no, until 3 years old people remember. Very common to remember your last lifetime, different experiences like that. It's like you remember something, you go someplace, I was here before. This is here, that's there. Oh yeah, it was so and so's birthday party. Like that. So until 3 years old, that's how people can remember things. Children are attracted to certain things. There are many anecdotes, you know, stories about this. Just recently in the Indian papers, last year, there was one child, he was a little boy, he was going to take some matador or something, an Indian vehicle, and the guy said, oh, don't take that, sumo, it's a very dangerous vehicle. He was like about 2 years old or something. His father said, well, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's very dangerous. Okay, we'll do that, you know. And he's asking him questions, and he's talking all about different vehicles and you know, their qualities and stuff. And then he goes on asking questions. And, oh, yeah, I was in an auto accident. I died. Where was it? So he actually identified where it was. You know. So the guy went there, and it was he found this place. This guy, some man, had like some property. He had maybe like five or six Tata Sumos or whatever they are, and he would rent them with drivers, you know. And it was real close to the border with Pakistan or something. It was just an open field, but it was like where the border was there and you know, stuff like that, you know. Someplace like that. So he was asking, see my little son, he said this and that and everything and this guy's listening like that and he said, No, we had no driver like that. Nobody died. No, it was a mistake like that, you know. The guy's walking away. Well the neighbors he says, yeah. He says the driver was Pakistani guy and he wasn't at all legal. At all. And so when he died, the guy had a nice funeral for him and everything else, but we kept it very confidential just amongst us so that nobody would know about it because it was illegal and he would have been out of trouble like that. And that's so wow. Yeah. So it recently happened. Yeah. But Ian Stevenson, he's a professor at the University of Virginia, and he's done scientific studies on reincarnation. And not just himself. He's like in his own field. He's like in charge of some division on psychometrics or something. He's a big guy in psychology, you know. Not that big, but like, you know, pretty robust fellow in terms of his psychology. Well known. So you can't say he's like a, you know, marginal guy. He's a pretty regular guy in psychology. And it's not just him. He has many PhD, doctorate people also working under him doing research. And one of the studies he did, you can look it up, is called Children Who Remember. And so some child will be born with a birthmark here, like a red spot or a birthmark here. And you start asking him questions and stuff and this and that, is that hurt or something. So you know how to stimulate certain things and say, oh, yeah, you know. So the one child is remembering, oh, yeah, I was hit in the head like this and I died, you know, I was shot. You know, so I was hunting with some friends and somebody made a mistake, shot me instead of the animal that got shot me instead of. They go back and they found what was supposed to have been the previous life, like that. And then they found many of these people who died. They were regular, you know, autopsy reports on the body. gunshot wound, you know, 17 centimeters or 5 centimeters from the left nipple, this and that, you know, and head wound so-and-so from the so-and-so. So he took the exact description of the location and then compared it with the description of the birthmark, like that. Yeah, maybe he had like 400 children, like that, you know. And there's a thing is, and there's a thing called student's t-test. In this test, it's a statistical analysis test for analyzing the data like that. Student's t-test. The guy's name is Student, I think, like that. And what it tells you is, given this information, these two sets of information, you know, or the information you have, it would have been possible for these things to have matched up, like, you know, one time out of 10, or by chance, or, you know, one time out of 100, you know. What are the chances of a coin coming up heads? 50%. 1 out of 2, like that, you know. So, in science, if you get the data, and it could have come up, you know, by chance, one time out of 100, that's considered, that's the way you investigate. It's not considered a proof, you know. If it could have come up one time out of 1,000, okay, then you considered you've proven this. You know, you can't prove anything from science. That's the way it's set up epistemologically. But you can show that it's, you know, this is probably it would have happened like that. So if this information could have occurred one time in 1,000 by chance, you say, yeah, this is a scientific proof that, you know, all pigs are all swans are white. We investigated when, you know, 500 swans and like that. They use this example because when they went to Australia, they discovered black swans. It's like, you know, all swans are white. Well, except that one. And that one. And that one. Okay, so not all swans are white. Yeah. That's like science can't prove anything. So his analysis, it came up one time in 100. Like that. It wasn't one time in 1,000. The data he had, it was like, you know, one time in 100 by chance this would have come up like that. You know? So you have a gun, you're going to point it to your head. Like the chances are, you know, one in 100, you're gonna, you know, it's 100 to 1, 99 to 1, you're gonna blow your brains out like that. But well, it's not a proof, though, man. I'm not convinced like that. It's not like, you know. In science, we're saying science is just like, yeah, this is the way we're gonna go. That there probably is reincarnation. So many studies like that, all kinds of things like that. Of people still remembering things and just play, you know, just play the piano, you know, drawing pictures. There's one guy in England now, when traveling in England, he was on the Yahoo thing. He was like, you know, like maybe about 6 years old. And he was on the beach one time and he asked his parents for some like paper and drawing. And he started drawing this whole like, you know, seaside scene with the waves and the ships and everything else and turned a page into something else. And it was like, he never did anything before like that, you know. So then now he's just like, and it's in England, they kind of reincarnation, they're kind of like down on it, I think, because the Indians support it, you know, generally speaking, especially the British guys, you know. But it's really difficult to get around, like, you know, this guy is some reincarnation. They ask him questions about, well, how this and that. He says, well, you got to do this and that. And it's all this whole, has this whole, like, you know, like, theory of composition and everything else at 6 years old, you know, and stuff. You know? His paintings are going for, like, about $115,000 now. So on. But they say, the people who investigate these child prodigies, who play music, who do art, do so many things like that. They say, yeah, it starts to disappear after a certain age because your previous intelligence that you had is starting to become overwhelmed by your current environment like that, you know. So I see Gopi is becoming an American, I noticed like that. I'm sorry, you know. Whatever, you know? Yeah. That's why in many cultures, like Tibetan culture, for example, then they look for this. They get the past life and they stimulate, and it doesn't get lost like that. And so you can carry your. Prabhupada said that sitar, Ravi Shankar. Sometimes Ravi, how many strings do you fret on a sitar? Guitar, all six, seven, all seven you play. Sitar only one. It's amazing. You stroke four, and you only like. Change one of them like that, but it has about how many 12 or so sympathetic strings that echo. So one time Ravi Shankar was in London and he started playing, maybe like, you know, 1,000 people in the audience, 3 tiers, big concert hall. He's playing for maybe about 20 minutes and he stops and everybody just applauds and everything else. He looks a little surprised. He said, oh no, I was just tuning up. It takes 20 minutes to tune the thing like that. And so then after that he played until like midnight. Everybody was just, you know, all. So Prabhupada said to play like this, it takes about 7 lifetimes to learn to play like that. You know? That's what happens. If you stimulate it, you just pick it right up again like that. And you can tell this is not, there's no DNA for sitar playing, you know, DNA, chromosome 47, 33, you know, sitar player. Okay, what do you want? I want a sitar player who likes beer. Okay, so I'm back. Okay, you know. But doesn't like redheaded girls. Okay, you know. Yeah, okay. Well, I like redheaded girls. Okay. Then they just got all weird stuff, you know. They had so many weird experiences with physics. With DNA, they're becoming more cautious about, like, just, you know, getting into everything. Because now they discovered a DNA thing. There'll be one genome, which will turn on a sequence like that. So, you know, nobody has the sequence turned on. Well, let's try it out. Yeah. Well, where do you go? You got ducks that kill with their mind. You know, psychotic brain ducks. Let's turn that off. But Bob, 2 of them escaped. Oh my God! Yeah. No, but it's just weird. Science is weird. You know? Yeah. So, but anyway, it's a scientific world. So reincarnation, you know, Vedas, all this kind of stuff. He knows what he knows. But every Veda, there's a Samhita, which is a text. Then associated with every Veda, there's a Brahmana, the Brahmanas, the Aranyakas, the Upanishad, and one more. In the Brahmana, Aranyaka, Upanishad. There's 4 things associated with every one of them. So the East Upanishad is several Upanishads like that. And this is associated with the... It's the Yajurveda, yeah? It's like Ayurveda. So we can look at the very beginning here. Yeah. So look at the very beginning. And it says, Alpurusheya, Yajurveda, right there. So, Prabhupada ki. Yeah. It's in the mantra 1. Yeah. And so, a lot of this was written for Back to Godhead magazine before Prabhupada left India, I understand. Because some people don't accept the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, it's smriti. It's that which the sages have meditated on. What is heard directly is the Vedas. So some people only accept the Vedas like that. So the only thing we have from Prabhupada that is Shruti, is Veda, is the East Upanishad. He also quotes from Katha Upanishad, so many things like that. But in terms of Prabhupada translating and giving a purport, from Madhvacharya has commentaries on so many things like that. Because Prabhupada says, if you can establish your case in the Upanishads and in Vedic culture, it's like, strong case. So you see many places Prabhupada's quoting from different Upanishads. One time Hridayananda Maharaj was invited to a conference in some university like Rutgers or some Ivy League college on Vedic culture. It was a Brahmacharya. Let's say he went there and there's one Professor Bharati there. He's very famous. He was like a big Mayavadi guy from South India and chanting the Vedas from 2 years old or something, you know. So Hridayananda Maharaj was talking and about giving some philosophy, he was laughing and all, monkey speaking Vedas, very arrogant like that. You know? And but then Maharaj quoted, Prabhupada says, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Ko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. Katha Upanishad, text number 2.2.13. Double trouble for the Maya bodies. Yeah. Because the Sanskrit is so clear. What does nitya mean? Huh? Nitya. No? Nityananda means... Yeah, okay. See, there you go. Eternal. Nityo nityanams.
Among all the eternals.
Yeah, amongst all the eternals, like that. Chaitana. Chaitadarpanamarjana.
Chaitana, the conscious beings?
Yeah. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. Out of all the eternal conscious beings, there's one who's maintaining everybody else's desires. It's so light clear. So when Hridayananda Maharaj quoted this, Professor Bharati said, why did you say that? Why did you say that? Why did you quote that? It was like it was frightening. It was like you could turn into a monkey or something. It was like after the whole thing, it was like popping a balloon or something. He just completely lost his cool. From that point on, it was like embarrassing. Like he was gonna, you know, jump off the table and do something obscene in the corner or something. It was like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. You know? See, he knows the potency of this stuff. You know. So this Upanishad is very potent. Like that. So what's the first mantra? Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasyam Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Now probably you're all wondering, what does the word Purnam mean? Purnam means? Dear my friend. Purnam? Complete. Yeah. Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya. In English we say to Krishna, from Krishna, with Krishna, by Krishna, at Krishna. Yeah, yeah. A Krishna, De Krishna, Por Krishna. But in Spanish, in Sanskrit, it's a suffix. Krishnaya, Krishna, Krishningna, Krishnasya, Krishnaha, like that. So it's a very nice study of things. It says, the absolute truth, Om, is complete. And everything that comes from Him is also complete. And even though so many complete units come from the complete, it remains complete. Okay. We use this a lot for classes on economics. Because one big professor, he told us it's very interesting because almost all the economic theories are based on the idea there's not enough. And so economics means how to minimize the violence by, you know, adjusting that. And your idea is it's complete. You know? And then Prabhupada says in the purport, yeah, if you investigate it, it's our incomplete knowledge of the complete which causes the problem. If we understand everything is complete, it's also the shortages are also part of the complete process to get us to get out of this place, or teaching us like that. So that's part of the process, is understand, yeah, the problems are also inadequacies, are also part of this complete process. So next verse. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yakincha jagat yam jagat tena 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 bunjitaha. Okay. Translation? Roughly speaking. Isha Vashyam Vidam Sarvam.
This whole world belongs to the Supreme, is controlled and belongs to the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
Isha Vashyam Vidam Sarvam. Yet in charge of the family, like this phenomenal world.
Yeah.
Tena Kaptena Bunjita, whatever is set aside.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that only. Madhridaha Kasisitan, and don't enforce upon someone else's property.
Yes. Very good for little children to learn. Yeah. Knowing well to whom it belongs. So, yeah, Isha, it's very difficult to translate Isha as something impersonal, the controller, right? Because controller means like, you know, somebody's controlling like that. But they translate it in person as the regulation. Everything is regulated like that, and there's a regulation, and it's very, you know, it's difficult. That's why they say this was added later. It's not a part of the original Vedas. Why? Because it talks about God. Well, why is it because it talks about God? No, because God was added later. Why? Because it's so circular reason. Anything that talks about God was added later. Why? Because it talks about God. Okay, yeah. So, but no, it's very clear. It starts off with Ishwara, controller. So the purport, Prabhupada says, that basically, what is our quota? Everybody has a quota. And he's talking about the tiger. The tigers are allowed to eat a certain number of deer and stuff like that. They don't eat more and stuff. And with nature's natural arrangement, the wolves and stuff, is a balance. Everybody lives. You know, the tigers live, the deer live, like that. You know? And there's a comment that says, when you're being chased by the tiger, you don't have to run faster than the tiger. You just have to run faster than the person next to you. one pencil of economics, remember that. You're being chased by mad dogs. You haven't got to run faster than the dogs. You just got to run faster than the kid next to you. Yes. Figure it out there. Yeah. Two guys. This is all economics here. two guys were going to the movies in San Francisco, first one movie. They cut down an alley, and a man came out with a mask and a gun and said, "Give me all your money, get your wallets out." So the guys are pulling their wallets out. Then one guy said, "Hey, you know the $100 I owe you?"
There you go.
Still thinking about it here. Yeah. Okay, here's $100 I owe you. Yeah. So. Okay. Figure it out. Okay. Yeah, because you jokes economists have. Yeah. Yeah. So, the Prabhupada says for human being, our quota especially is vegetarian diet. And that's when we create all the problems. So these two purports, first purports are really nice for classes on economics, and people appreciate them very much. And the Vedas talk about this. There's enough for everybody. And you talk about that, and you can bring in some other modern stuff, and people say, yeah, that's a fact. You know? Yeah. Actually, there's a very interesting economist from Oxford, and his name is F. Ram Hare. That's his name. And he did a whole study. And basically, if you work 2 hours a day, you can maintain yourself. Okay, if you want to have a car and all this kind of stuff and expensive clothes and keep up with your neighbors, okay, you got to work more. You know, but basically, 2 hours a day. In the harvest time, you may be working 12 hours a day. But okay, it's coming in every day. You know, in the winter time, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, go out, do this and that. You know, but you see that. You live in the country, you see that. You just Ecuador. It's so simple. Yeah. In Ecuador, practically speaking, you live for free. You know, it's like if a box of bananas and it costs like 35 cents for a box of, fresh, sweet, 5-hour-old bananas like that. Oh, bananas you get here are like maybe like 3 days old, five more than that. God, coming from Ecuador by boat, They pick them, rock green, They're not ripe, they're rotten. So there, it's like everything fresh, and coconuts are free, So these tropical areas, you can live very easily like that. When I see people making japa beads, it's a lathe about this long, and the guy sits there like with his, with his foot, turning it like that. It's got a little thing for that, And the pieces of tulsi are cut like about this long, flat, And he puts one on there, and his little thing is turning it. And the art is to cut through the same speed the drill's going through when they meet, and just pull it off like that, Like that. And it's very simple. Maybe again, 2 hours of that, chanting Hare Krishna for each bead. You can do your japa. And you're finished. You've got enough bees to, pay for your life like that. So the problem comes when we start to take more than our quota. The Buddhists say, he who knows when enough is enough will always have enough. Like that. Yes. And Prabhupada says for human being, especially means vegetarian like that. So when you start to kill animals, then it creates all these economic problems. It's not natural. Yeah, people are starving, okay. But other than that, enchiladas, sopes, tortillas. Arroz, frijoles, y tortillas. That's it, right? Yes, that's all you need. Or rice, dal, and chapatis. All over the world, it's the same thing, no? Rice, dal, chapatis, arroz, tortillas, frijoles. Call it... Corn tortillas is maki roti. Maki roti. Everybody knows, it's very simple. And you add cheese, include cheese. In Mexico, the devotees there, ladies there, have been cooking for, the vegetarian Hare Krishna food for 40 years. Boy,
really?
You don't get up. It's just like, which is better, tamales or pizza?
Pizza. Pizza's my favorite food.
Yeah, I know. So I asked one guy, he said, well, I'd hate to live off the difference. It's like, tamales are really good. I mean, in my last lifetime, I was a Chinese-Mexican. I know, or a Mexican-Chinaman, I don't know. Because I just love Chinese art, that kind of stuff. But Mexican food, yeah. So you make all these nice things. You don't have to kill anybody like that, And then Socrates, Socrates, yeah, famous guy. In the Republic, somebody asked him, "What's your idea of the ideal civilization?" It's very famous. And he just starts to describe this civilization, how people should live, and he describes a vegetarian society. And his friend said, oh, but Socrates, that's not practical. I mean, you know, how many people can live like that? What if you populated your city with meteors, with pigs? I think he says that literally, with pigs, in fact. So Socrates says, oh, then you have so many problems. Because to take care of the animals, you need more water, more land. And to get the same amount of food value that you get from beans and rice and this kind of stuff, you have to have six times as much land to take care of the animal, like that. You have to get the same amount of food value from the meat. It takes six times as much land as it takes to get the food value from the legumes and rice and stuff like that. So he says, yeah, then you have to have more land for all these animals and water and stuff. And then we start to fight over land, you know. And because we're accustomed to killing animals without the cruel-hearted like that, hard-hearted, they don't want to die, which you know. Yeah? So then we start treating everybody else the same way. And people start arguing to be incivility and stuff like that. So then you need all this kind of control in society to keep people under control and nobody, you know, and a king and, you know, laws. And Western historian who said, it is the best kept secret in Western history that Socrates' original society was vegetarian. Because he's like one of the biggest acharyas in the West. Other historians, philosophers, they say after all of Western history, all of Western philosophy is a footnote to Socrates. He dealt with almost all the problems like that. All the arguments probably deal with the same thing. And he says, this is coming from old traditions too. He says that. So this is the purport. For everything is complete, you just got to see how it's complete. And then once you accept that, take your quota, like that. And our quota is, you know, vegetarian food. Details, but so many people say that. You just take that one thing to solve, you know, 85% of the world's problems. Like that. And then Prabhupada goes on and says, but that's not quite enough. You've got to offer it to Krishna too, like that. Our real quota is prasad, jai, it's ready, okay, like that, you know. And then last, one more text, next one, I haven't memorized it. You can look it up here, text number 3. Ready? Right there? Ein, zwei, drei. Ein, zwei, drei. Nama, ami, ana, ami, amuk. Okay, Manipuri. Ana, ami, hum. Uno, dos, tres. Asurya nama te loka. Andena. Oh, sorry, no, number two. Yeah, because this is the invocation. Invocation is number one, yeah. Number two. Okay, ready? Korva evaha karmani jajivi sech chatam shamaha evan twai nanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare. If one lives only taking his quota, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in this way. That sort of work does not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative way to this for man. It's Upanishads. So beginning is establishing how to live in this world very peacefully. Take your quota, then no problem. You can live forever in this world very peacefully. So then text number 3 gives the contrast. Asurya nama te loka andena tamasvitaha tamste pretya bighachanti ye ke chatmano janaha. The killer of the soul, the person who doesn't take his quota, the person who kills animals, who kills his own soul by not being concerned about spiritual realization, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance, like Micron. Woo!
Especially in the fab.
Yeah, or cockroaches, or when National Geographic had this whole series on bug wars, you know, insects and termites, how they meet each other and they fight, you know, and still it's all in the dark and damp, and some guys have these giant things that chop off other guys' legs, and other guys shoot acid in other guys' eyes, and, you know, and they chop the legs off and they shoot anticoagulants so they bleed to death, and it's really designed like to hell. You know? It's like these advanced stages of Kali Yuga. But you take birth there and you just live like that and just, you know, blah, 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 like that. Now the meter changes. The cockroach burrito. Yeah. Yeah. Where's the guy, Yashodananda, he sells water filters, but he sells them like ranchero, like, you know, small apartment complexes, small office buildings, small farms. So, you know, some pretty good, they're good-sized machines, really good, too. So it's a nice niche, but he has to travel to sell them. So he found out that Wendy's has this, like, vegetarian option thing like that, you know, so he goes there and eats there, buys your guy. And so this lady gave it to him, but it had some kind of meat stuff on it, or sauce, or some kind of chicken thing and sauce on it like that. And he said, hey, it's supposed to be strict vegetarian. And she says, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, like that, I'll get a, replace it for you. We respect everybody here. Vegetarians, homosexuals, like that. Said, yeah, yeah. Republicans, like that. Give me, or Democrats, you know. Yeah, okay, just give me the meal, forget the philosophy. But it's like, but most places, vegetarian diet and stuff becoming like, even at Disneyland, we have a Manipur group. Every single one of the places where you could eat, they have one vegetarian option like that. Even Amtrak has one vegetarian option when you go cross country. They have it like that. Yeah. Oh, and Burger King, the Great American Steakhouse. This devotee went there. He was in Texas with his friends, with his parents, like that and stuff. He was going to get some salad or something, you know. But it's a vegetarian option. The Great American Steakhouse in Texas. Yeah. So it's becoming like acceptable. But, okay. Ane jarekam manasa javiyo naina deva apnuvam purvam arsat tadhavato nyan atyatitistat tasmin apomatarish vadadati. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of God is swifter than the mind, and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. So now he's trying to describe the Ishvara, right? Yeah. He stays in his own abode, but he runs faster than everybody. He then never leaves, but he's controlling everything. This is like these mind puzzles. Because he's trying to deal with these people, very intelligent people like that, but he's giving him all these examples. He has no hands, but he controls everything. He has no legs, but he runs faster than everybody. Like that, you know? He has no eyes, but he sees everything. It's like, oh, yeah. You understand the grasshopper? Oh, yeah. But that's what they like that. They're this desire for this kind of people. That's when you read the Yusuf Upanishad, probably many times he says, hey, but this is explained better in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But he's translating it for this kind of people. Okay, what else? Text number 5 also talks about it. The Ishvara, the Ishvara, Tadeja, Tanayjati, Tadre, Tadiantike, Tadantara, Tashisarvasya, Tadusarvasyasya, Bahatata. Tad, this. Tad, he. Tat, he. Tat, he. Tat, he. Yeah, it means that, kind of, right? But Prabhupada translates it as he, Ishvara. To make it clear. The Supreme Lord walks, and he does not walk. He is far away, but he's very near. he is within everything, and he's outside of everything. So he's a person, but not a person like us. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani eva nupashyate sarva bhutesha chatmanam tatonoa vijagapsate. He who systematically sees everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything nor any being. So he's talking about this Ishvara, who's controlling, establishes a quota. He's got a body, but he's transcendental. And part of this whole universe is the people, right? And now if you begin to, since text is almost the same. Now it's talking about the people that make up the universe. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaibabhu vijanataha tatrako mohakashoka ekatvamanupashyataha. One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quantity one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So this is a devotee who can see this, right? the jnani, the intellectual person. Maybe artificially you can see we're all one, but a devotee can see everybody's part and parcel of Krishna because he sees everybody can serve Krishna. He looks at everybody and sees exactly what they can do like that. A Majjhimadhikari, middle class devotee, he can do it by using his intelligence. So talk to the guy and say, we're building a Rath Yatra cart and the axle needs to be fixed. You're a mechanic. Hey, come on, you can do this. Yeah? But Uttamadhikari is just spontaneous. That's how he sees everybody. As soon as he gets to know anybody, he's automatically just seeing like not how they can be engaged in Krishna's service, but what is their relationship with Krishna, like that. So Majjhimadhikari has to use his intelligence. But both of them can see that everybody is, you know, a servant of Krishna. So why should I be afraid of anybody? Right? Because whatever they're going to do in Krishna's service. That's what I want. I want Krishna to be served. You know? So it'd be like your hand. If you're afraid of your hand attacking you like that, and you're not looking, you know, it's like, yeah. Right? Yeah. So pure devotee, Majjhimadhikari, Kanishtadhikari, Uttamadhikari, he's walking around looking at this civilization, he's laughing his head off, like, you know, like that. Maybe this guy's going to steal my money. You know, this guy's going to take my woman. I got to watch out here, you know, and eat my food, you know. So on. Yeah, he's a joking guy. Ridiculous. Why would he want to do that? You know, well, this is nuts. You know, they say we're all children of the same father. Even when we're serving Krishna indirectly, we're going to be serving Krishna. So Uttamadhikari, he's just no problem. He goes through this world very peacefully. He sees everything as a replica of Vaikuntha. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, more or less. Is there going to be enough for Sodom for me? I don't know. Okay. So it goes on like that. After that, it'll discuss knowledge, maybe four texts. Then we'll discuss worship. And the text is four texts, eight texts. The first four are identical with the second four, except the word knowledge is changed with the word worship like that. Actually, I was talking to Radhika about this, and he said, well, you're right. Yeah. And we're looking up things in the dictionary, like that, so on. So you have to develop knowledge of what is this world, and it's not so nice, okay. And then develop the spiritual world, oh, it's very good. Because if you just develop knowledge of how nice the spiritual world is, you become a sahajiya. If you just develop knowledge about how nasty the material world is, you become a maya body. So you have to become a sahaja body, or a maya jiya, whatever you want to call it like that. Yeah, this world's not nice, the spiritual world's good. And you've got to contemplate both those things. And says that. And then finally he says, text number 1515 in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hari Mani Spani Visto, Matasa Sajana Pawanamcha, Vidaischa Savira Hameva Bejo, Vedanta Vedakureva Chaham. Do you know Sanskrit? Do you know Sanskrit? He said, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I was traveling with Nadia Rasapuri. She was born in, her parents were devotees, became Western devotees, Western people. And they, you know, devotees, everything else, they got her, the little girl. When I saw her last day, it was like this big, and Nadia Rasapuri. Then maybe about 7 years ago, she wanted to go to India, and her mother said, oh, Hanuman Swami's going, this and that. So we were going, she came. And you can see she had been a goddess in her last lifetime or something like that. She was so, like, self-contained, very, you know, modest, and but at the same time, too, like, confident about everything, you know, dealing with every situation like that. Wow. You know. She went to Europe. She was traveling to communes. There's all these communes you can work on for free like that. And she was traveling, meeting all these people. And she, all her money's gone, so what? I'm in Europe. It's like, you know. So she had like maybe like $300 or something. She said, I want to go home. Okay, time to go home now. $300 is impossible, you know, really less than that. So she started going to every single travel agency in Brussels. And yeah, she finally found one that had this student discount thing available. They had five seats available that night. She got on and came home. She said, yeah, it'll happen. You know. So right, and she said, like, you know, sometimes when I talk to my friends, my girlfriends, it's like a very high-class person. But she wasn't a devotee exactly. Yeah, she's a devotee, Hari Bol and stuff, but it wasn't like, you know, very sincere about all this stuff. Look at my mother and stuff, and other devotees. Okay, you know, respectful, but it was, you know, life and this kind of stuff, you know. So finally she got married, and became pregnant, okay. Baby's born, she's there, after delivering the baby, and the baby comes out. The doctor tells her, I'm sorry to tell you, the baby's going to live about 2 minutes at the maximum, like that, something like that. You know, baby's got about 2 minutes to live, like that. So she just got through childbirth, everything else. She picked the baby up and started screaming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And all the doctors and nurses were sitting there like that. You know. She was screaming at the top of her lungs, this baby, everything, you know, last 1 minute of his life, whatever, like that. And she, like, you know, she was completely hysterical like that, you know, yeah. But it's okay, so is she a devotee or not? You know? Okay, this is like, do you know Sanskrit or not? Yeah, I know Sanskrit. Give me the baby. So the doctors and nurses knew Sanskrit after that, too. Yeah, hot. But it's going to be, yeah, many times devotees. Other devotee. No, died. So, yeah, the baby. You know, but it was, you know, but she felt okay. Yeah, baby. Prabhupada says it sometimes. But some yogi, they have little karma. So they take birth. They have no cerebral cortex. They sit there, eat prasadam and listen to Maha Mantra. You know. Or in this case, you know, okay. You did something wrong. You got one more birth here like that. Okay, I'll never do it again. You know. But you come out, oh no, you're going to think of Krishna when you come out like that. Yeah. So, and then you know, intelligence is there. Somebody's screaming to Maha Mantra. Yeah. And of course, you're focused on your mother when you come out. That's all you know. Yeah. So you see, everything's okay. It's all Purna. Yeah. But she too, she's also, you know, upset. But, you know, she had after that, she had a very stern argument with Krishna about life. You know. Like that. But in the end, you know, so this verse, Vedaischa Sarvaraham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Ved Veda Kudeva Chaham. By all the Vedas I am known, I am the compiler of Veda, and by the end, I am the knower of the Vedas. That's what it means to know the Vedas, know Sanskrit. So one more verse, memorizing the invocation, memorizing the first verse, and text number 15. How's it go? Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam pusham apavrenu satya dharma yadrishyate. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam. What does mukam mean? Yeah, like that. It's such a. Why did you say that? Why did you quote that verse? Yeah. Hiranmayena means this effulgence. It says, remove this effulgence so I can see your face. Like that. And let me. And protect me, cultivate me, pushan, like that. Nourish me, like that. Even if I forget you at the time of death, don't you forget me, like that. So it's very much the Ishvara. Ishvara is a person. He's conscious. He remembers our activities. So in general, Isha Upanishad is very strong, you know, case for personal philosophy, personal aspect of the Vedas like that. And it's very nice for devotees. And many times we don't use it that much because we're not preaching these kind of people, but. You run across people like this. Where if anybody's actually educated in this culture, they know these things. And then they're, you know, usually most people come in contact with Indian philosophy, come in contact with Shankara. It's the way it is. And so Vaishnava philosophy, there's some articles we aren't very, very serious in depth. So most theologians who know, and they start to investigate India, they come in contact with Shankara and impersonalism like that. So if you can start quoting your Upanishads and stuff like that, then it's like, they're very impressed, you know. I mean, they're not demons many times. They just don't know. And you say, oh, you both are Upanishads say that. Oh, I didn't know that. And they're all quite impressed. Oh, you're educated. I thought you were all just drug addicts, drug addicted hippies who become like, you know, Hare Krishnas or something, engaging in child abuse, you know, like that. You know. Oh. The media creates such a beautiful image. Yeah. Why? Because they don't want people, in India and especially the Hare Krishna movement, we don't want them to become involved in this. Jyoti Bhashan, when he was first becoming powerful in Bengal, he said, we're going to bathe Bengal in the blood of Vaishnavas. Yeah, okay. Say those things. You never did it. So later when ISKCON became so powerful because of membership and because of Mayapur, really scientific and everything else, he said, you know, I think Sri Chaitanya was the first communist. Politician. Yeah. So, any questions, comments? Got a little taste of Isha Upanishad.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay, por qué no? Estúpido. Okay. Pregunta tonto.
How do I know?
Yeah. And we have the most about Superman, too, by the way. Superman. Too, right? Yeah.
How do I know that I'm suffering? Decide that I need to go to work and pay my bills. How do I know that I'm suffering?
Prabhupada told a story one time. And when he was in Berkeley, 1975. And somebody gave Prabhupada $10,000 in $20 bills. Now, anybody who's an economist, you figure out how much, you know, $20,000 in 1975 and $20,000 in 2010. It was like maybe $40,000. You know? That was a whole history. So I was a treasurer. So they said, treasurer, come here. Prabhupada, you know, got this money. He wants us to count it. So I went in there, and I never met Prabhupada personally before. And, you know, I was stealing Mahaprasadam and stuff. And I thought, when Prabhupada saw me, his fire was going to come from his eyes. He would, like, destroy me or something like that. You know, it was like, you know, it's like going before God, you know. And I knew the senior devotees, they were bad enough. You know, Jayananda, Hansaduda, you know, they were like, you know, to deal with the Prabhupada, oh my God. You know, so I went in his room right there. And there was Jayatirtha, Nittai, Brahmananda, and they all had these piles of money in front of them, kind of like that. So they gave me a pile of money and I was counting. You know. I probably was just leaning back like that, you know, and he was just preaching, you know, just tell everybody what we were working. And I think there was no tape recorder, so I'm probably one of the few people on earth, you know, actually counting up who's alive still in the room, who know this story. Okay. Prabhupada said to some man, he's working in the mines, you know, and he's sitting in some country tavern outside like that, drinking a little country beer, you know, after work, and he's looking at the newspaper, you know, and some priest goes by, you know, and he looks at him and says, you're drinking beer, alcohol, you're going to go to hell. And the guy says, well, my God, I'm a miner, I've suffered so much like that, and my father, you know, he also drinks like this a little bit after work, you know. Your father is also going to hell. He said, well, my cousins, my nephews, my uncles, we're all miners. It's a really hellish job. And after work, we all drink a little beer like that to relax, you know. And the guy, Brahmin, the priest, goes away and said, your whole family is going to hell, you know. So then Prabhupada says, the man stops for a second and thinks, and he says, well, you know, if we're all going to be in hell together, maybe it won't be so bad. You know? Yeah. So he said, that's what you happen. You see, you look around. Now, you know you're suffering, you know. But he said, well, she's suffering, he's suffering, you're suffering, like that, you know. Ask anybody, right now, how many places in your body are uncomfortable? You know, place, I got some place right now in your body which is itching, or that, or my sore throat, or, you know. You start to think about it. Every moment, there's at least like five places you can go over. You start to get into, you know, my tooth hurts. It's like, but you just, you know, you say, okay, that's the way it is, you know. So this assertion that probably says we have no impetus. We don't know. We don't know we're suffering. But when we come in contact with the Bhagavatam and the stories and the devotees, then we see, God, I'm suffering. You know? So we need that contrast to appreciate it. And that's really the only way we can appreciate it, is by associating with the Dhiras, the people who are detached from this. Other than that, yeah, we're a little bit sober. We're human beings. We begin to appreciate, I want a car, I want an ice cream, I want a motorcycle. You know.
It's interesting because from the perspective of this philosophy, when you start to understand this philosophy, and then you look at the guy, the neighbor, the neighbor, he has everything, big house, big car, master.
Big debt. Yeah. Big debt.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe everything is fine there in his life, right?
Yeah.
And in a human concept, he's happy.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So, and everything goes well.
Yeah.
And then I say, wow, wait a minute. And I start to think about the philosophy.
Yeah.
Say, these poor guys. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He doesn't know that when he's gonna die, he will come back here again.
Most likely. Right? As a dog in the same house or something.
Right. So and then you start to look at this and I say, well, why he hasn't been touched by the divine to wake him?
Because he doesn't want it.
He doesn't want it.
He prays to God. I just don't want to know this. I don't want to know this. I want to enjoy things like that. You know. So someone tells you, hey, someone just stole your car. It's, forget it. I'm just going to eat my dinner like that, or something has happened, or, you know, you're going to lose your job. Nah, I'm just going to drink and forget about it. I don't want to think about that. I just want to, So we ask to be put in a position where we can only have a local view of reality, you know, like that. any person like Al Capone, is this thing. Everybody, one guy is a prison guard, you know. The other guy, there's not a criminal in prison. You start talking to people. Very few people. Everybody says, yeah, but this happened, that happened. I didn't deserve it. I was carried away. They say, she did that. And like, I hit her, and I didn't intend to kill her. Yeah. Everybody has their, you know, their justification by which they make themselves okay. Yeah. They make themselves the victim, and I deserve it. Like that. Yeah, the Krishna book. Yeah. Yeah. And we're trying to be happy separate from Krishna. But all of Maya's pleasures are temporary, but she has an unlimited number of them. You know, first you get this, and you're sad. It's okay. I don't want that anymore. But she says, "What is that?" You know, My one friend, Tapanacharya, he's interesting. He told me this. You know, he's a queer lawyer, homosexual lawyer, Irish. different jokes. He said, he said in the beginning, God created homosexuals and lawyers, right? And all the lawyers ended up in New York, and all the homosexuals ended up in San Francisco, because San Francisco had first choice. Yeah, people hate lawyers more than they hate, you know, like that. Anyway, he's a homosexual lawyer, so you can say that, you know. Yeah. His father was divorced from his mother. They still didn't talk and everything else, yeah. But then he had second marriage, got divorced again. Then after that, he had two more long-term relationships. You know. Now he's maybe 57 years old or something, you know. So they're both lawyers. And after working in the bar and, you know, Tapanachari was drinking 7-Up, his father was doing something else, relaxing, you know. He said, "Tom, I want to tell you that, you know, finally, you know, I think finally, I finally met the right girl." You see, it's like married twice, to four different women, ladies like that, and finally, you know, none of it worked out. He's finally thinking, you know, 57 years old. It was just, I just didn't have the right relationship like that. And of course, the girls thinking the same thing. You know, this time it's going to be different. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach you that insanity is doing the same thing, the same way, and expecting a different result, like that. I go to these parties. I can't control myself with these kind of people, but this time I'm going to do it. No, I didn't do it. So you got to submit. No, you got to understand. The situation like that. You know? So so many we're trapped, and because we want to be, you know, just pray to God. One old lady, she had no family. She had no family. She wasn't very intelligent. She was a bad, you know, irritable person. So she was living in the market at night with other poor people and in the village, and she would go where the woodcutters were, and she would get some wood, hassle with them and buy some wood, and they'd tie it up and put it on her head and her cloth, and she'd go back over the hills and back down to her village, and somebody helped her put it down. She'd open it up, she'd haggle with the housewife for some, you know, some firewood. She'd make a little bit of profit. And every year the woodcutters were farther away, and she had arthritis, and so it was, you know, a really tough life. Sleep in the marketplace at night. So one day she's coming back with the wood, and the knot came undone, and all the wood fell on the ground. And she can't put it back by herself. She's out there alone. She hasn't got any family, arthritis. She just fell on the ground. It was scratching the ground and saying, "Narayana, Narayana." And Narayana appeared in front of her with all the gods of all the universes and all the powers and time and space. And he said, "Old lady, you're calling my name. What do you want?" She said, "Put all the wood back on my head." He said, "Are you sure it's what you want?" "Please, please." Okay, all right, yeah. That's our situation, you know. We're so comfortable. You pull a worm out of excrement, he'll crawl right back in. Yes. So we love suffering, you know, because the suffering, now I have a right to enjoy because I suffered like that. You know? So it's all, you know, we're desiring happiness and distress, you know. So it's all an all combined thing. We don't want to see the future because then we can enjoy it like that. Yeah? And somebody knows. He's like, I got this money by cheating, this and that. You know, it's almost nobody gets any money in this world by, you can do something, you know, like that. I don't want to think about that. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai. Paramah prasadam ki jai. Afterwards. Individual. Yes.